Kids are already gone. I'm going to take a little extra time here to make sure this thing is running. It is. Good morning, church. How was everybody's week this week? Good. I had one of those weeks. I was on vacation last week for the fair. And I got an extra day off Monday, which was cool. And we sold our lambs or our lamb early, so I think by 10:45 we were cleaning out pen, getting ready to come home. I was home by noon. I was like, yeah. I had something looming over me this week that I was just not looking very much forward to. Number one, I had to go back to work. But number two, I had a procedure done Thursday. And this particular procedure, I had to do all this prep work. And it cracks me up how doctors put things. I had a colonoscopy done. My mother was diagnosed with colon rectal cancer. So I turned 50 this year. And I had to have this colonoscopy done. And I've never even been in the hospital before. Never had a surgery. So the prep time for this was not much fun for me. Wednesday, I was doing my sales route, and I took my two pills in the morning at 10 when I was supposed to. I have to have my paper with me because I have no idea what I'm doing. And it says at noon, you got to mix this stuff with 64 ounces of clear liquid, and you start drinking it 4 to 6 ounces at a time until you're done. Well, and my wife will attest to this. I don't do anything 4 to 6 ounces at a time. I drank, I don't know, probably 20 ounces before I went into a stop, and I was in this stop for about 45 minutes. Needless to say, the stuff started working. So anyway, I spent my afternoon calling on stops, running to their bathroom. I think I used 7 different restrooms that afternoon. And then when I got home at 5, I was supposed to take this magnesium citrate, I think it's called. And it's a clear liquid. And it's in a 12-ounce bottle. And it just tastes like garbage. Chris did me the favor and got me the cherry flavored. I had 2 choices, cherry and lemon. I thought, no, I can't drink the lemon. It'd probably be sour. So I take a drink of the cherry just to wet my whistle. And it was the sourest stuff I've ever drank in my life. So I just took the bottle and drank the 12 ounces all one time. She said, dummy, you're probably not supposed to do that. I said, whatever, it's done. I don't have to taste that stuff ever again. Till the next time. Anyway, long story short, everything went as planned. Thursday morning when I went in there, you know, I look like the picture of health, I know. But these nurses, when they're coming in, it's like they're interrogating me before my procedure. And they're like, so have you ever had anesthesia before? I said, no. Have you ever had surgery before? I said, no. Have you ever had been in the hospital before? I said, no, I broke my thumb when I was a senior in high school. So what medicines are you on? I told them my 2 blood pressure medicines. Said, okay, what else? You know, it's like they were expecting this list from me a mile long because I'm fat and I'm short. Okay? I get it. They're like, man, you are lucky. You made it to 50 and you've never had anesthesia. You've never had a surgery. And I thought, you know what? I am lucky. It's not anything I did. God has had his hand on me from the time I was born. I was born 2 months premature, 1.5 months premature. I weighed 5 pounds and 10 ounces when I was born. You know, I didn't stay in the hospital any longer than a normal baby would have. There's no reason for that other than God had his hand on me, right? So today, as I knew I was preaching today, I thought, you know, I probably should do a God Bless America, Remember the Fallen Lives 9/11 sermon. And I was prepared to do that. And as I progressed and was preparing, God laid something else on my heart. You know, there's just something that always comes up on your phone or on your in your devotions or in your Bible reading that strikes a nerve. Well, I read something this week and it struck a nerve. And I don't know how this is going to turn out. But God has laid on my heart. I've got five messages in this. It's a series, but you know, it is what it is. And I entitled it, it was entitled "The Always God." And I thought, you know, that's pretty fitting. Even as we're going through 9/11 and remembering that, God's still the same God He was 20 years ago when all that happened. God's still the same God He was 200 years ago. What's changed? We're going to dig into that a little bit. I do want to pray before we get started. But I do have one thing I want to share. And this kind of leads into where I want to go today. I came across this, and this says, "Dad Talk Today." It was posted on the Facebook, but I thought, you know, it kind of fits in with what I want. And it's a conversation between a son and a dad, but I'm going to change this to the son being our father and the dad being us, okay? And the son, our father, says, "Daddy, may I ask you a question?" And dad says, "Yeah, sure, what is it?" The son says, "Daddy, how much money do you make an hour?" And the dad says, "That's none of your business. Why do you ask such a thing?" And the son says, "I just want to know, please tell me how much do you make an hour?" The dad says, "If you must know, I make $100 an hour." And his son says, "Oh." And then he puts his head down in disbelief, in despair. And then he says, "Daddy, may I please borrow $50? Father was furious, in which the dad said, "If the only reason you ask that is so you can borrow some money to buy a silly toy or some other nonsense, then you march yourself straight to your room and go to bed. Think about why you are being so selfish. I work hard every day for such childish behavior." The little boy went quietly to his room and shut the door. The man sat down and started to get even angrier about the little boy's questions. How dare he ask such questions, only to get some money. After about an hour or so, the man calmed down. He started to think. Maybe there was something he really needed to buy with that $50, and he really doesn't ask for much for money very often. The man went to the door of the little boy's room and opened the door. "Are you asleep, son?" "No, Daddy, I'm awake." The dad responded, "I've been thinking, maybe I was too hard on you earlier. It's been a long day, and I took out my aggravation on you. Here's the $50 you asked for." The little boy sat straight up, smiling, and said, "Oh, thank you, Daddy." Then, reaching under his pillow, he pulled out some crumpled-up bills. The man saw that the boy already had money, started to get angry again. The little boy slowly counted out his money and then looked up at his father. And the dad, in an angry voice, said, "Why do you want more money if you already have some?" The son said, "Because I didn't have enough, but now I do." And responded and said, "Daddy, I have $100 now. Can I buy an hour of your time? Please come home early tomorrow. I would like to have dinner with you." The father was crushed. He put his arms around his little son and begged for his forgiveness. It's just a short reminder to all of you working so hard in life. We should not let time slip through our hands. And I think about that as, God doesn't ask me for a whole lot. But sometimes I think He says, "Man, I'm going to pay your hourly rate because I want to talk to you." And that's what led into this. With that, I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that you're here, Lord. I know that you are speaking today, Lord, and I know that you are in control. Lord, I love you for giving me those little reminders that we just need to slow down and enjoy everything that you do for us, Lord. Lord, just be with me today and just take me out of the equation. Shut my mind down and just let the words you want to be said. And let the ears hear what you want them to hear, Lord. Want us to hear. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. So the first, the first part of the always God is always speaking. And those of you who have listened to me talk before, anybody want to take a guess what my favorite verse of the Bible is? No? It's Exodus. Why? Because I love the story of Moses. He took a simple man that had all kinds of problems, had all kinds of issues. He was a shepherd for his father-in-law. And God takes him and uses him to do possibly one of the greatest things in the history of man. I know I've given stats on that Exodus before, but today we're not even worried about the Exodus. Do you know that God is still speaking to people today? Anybody believe that? Yeah. Do you have a face-to-face conversation with God now? Anybody have that? No. I haven't. But I know God puts things in my life. Says, hey, slow down and listen to me. So the passage we're going to use is Exodus 3. So we're beginning a five-week series called The Always God, and the goal of this series is to show that just as God moved in the past, He still moves today. Okay? This wasn't just an Old Testament sighting of God, and then we never see Him again. God is still moving today. He's still pursuing people today. He restored people in the Bible, and He is still restoring people today. And He provided for people in the past, and He is still providing for His people today. God has not changed over time, and it's fitting that this is one of the songs we sang today. And the one who revealed Himself as the great I Am, the eternal, self-existent, infinite, all-powerful, all-knowing God is what this series is going to attempt to put forth, that the I Am is still the I Am. He has not changed. Today I want to talk to you about God speaking. And we're going to go right into Exodus 3, starting in verse 1. It's entitled Moses and the Burning Bush. Now Moses was tending to the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why this bush does not burn up. And we've all seen a fire. I have a big brush pile at home that I need to burn, but it's always so windy in my house I can't do it. So that's what I imagine this burning bush. Okay? Just a massive bush. But when that fire puts off, what comes with that fire? Amount of light and heat. And pretty soon, that fire just consumes everything in that pile. Pretty soon, you're just left with ash. Right? I want you to understand, this is a bush that did not burn up. How did that happen? There's only one way that happened. That's because God was in charge. Okay? God was in charge. All right, let's keep reading. Verse 4. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." You know, like he had to tell God where he was, right? Listen, I probably would have been speechless, because if I heard God calling to me from a burning bush, I would have probably freaked out. Okay? And my point to that is, okay, Friday or last night, we went to the school. Chris and I, we're kind of digging this empty nest thing. Shelby was off doing her thing with Nathan, and Morgan's at college and loving it, by the way. Lindsay's head guard this weekend. So Chris and I are like, "Oh, you want to go to supper tonight? Sure, let's go have a nice steak and salad, and we'll just hang out." And, you know, Saturday night date for us is going to get groceries. Yeah, it is what it is. She has to take me because I have to be her checkout operator, because they don't have any checkout operators. Sorry, that's another rant. But we stop at the school, and she says, "What are these two doing here? There's two kindergarten teachers." And I'm talking, it was 6:30, probably. Two kindergarten teachers are there. And for those that don't know, our kindergarten rooms, I don't know, somehow got mold in them. So they had to, this was last week, they decided they had to tear all their rooms down and start over. They had to bring a professional company in to dry everything out. It was a mess. So these two teachers are in there, and the one gal coached junior high softball for me. So I just, when I opened the door, I said, "Kendall Fout, go home." She had no idea who it was. You know, if I'm in that school and it's about that time of day, I'm thinking, "God, is that you?" It was not. It was dumb man trying to be funny. But she looked out and saw who it was, or saw that, because I just walked on by then and saw Chris was there, because Chris didn't want the two young women teachers. She didn't want them to think, you know, somebody's in there that shouldn't be in there. Anyway, so that's what my envision of the burning bush is. God calling out to Moses, and Moses saying, "Hi, God, I'm here. I knew you were there." Moses is a lot like me. Okay? I think sometimes Moses was slow. He was not the brightest bulb in the box. That's me. And when God calls me, I don't need to tell him I'm here. He knows it. But it's important that he acknowledged that God called him. We'll get into it. Verse 5. "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them." Okay, so during this conversation, you know, what's Moses thinking? "Hey, God, I hear you. That's a good plan. Get him out of there." Right? Moses doesn't know. It's about to take a turn. But it is. Verse 10. "So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." So a light bulb goes off in Moses' head as he's standing there looking at this burning bush, talking to God. And Moses says, "Huh, But Moses says to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. So God is going to bring Moses back full circle to where this conversation took place. Anybody at a point in their life, they feel like they've been here before? You feel like God's asking you to do something that you just don't know? I've been there before. I'm there now. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. So I think that last part is very important because sometimes I think we just think God just kind of left us poor Americans just... Guys, for generations to generations, his name is I Am. He is not leaving. He has not left. He still sees us every day. He still wants to talk to us every day. He is still speaking. We know that God, when he speaks, can do great things, right? I mean, let's go back to Genesis. God spoke the world into existence. In Genesis chapter 1, 10 times the phrase is used, and God said, and whatever he said came into existence. Think about that. Think about that. And God said, let there be light. And God said, man should not be by himself. And God said, you know, let there be heavens and earth. Guys, he's still talking today. So we're going to look at a bunch of different, you know, prophets, Moses. But we're going to look at Moses mainly. But we're going to learn how God spoke to him. But we're also going to evaluate our lives and see how God speaks to us. Because I don't think when I leave here today, I'm going to see a burning bush and hear God. Be cool if it happened. You ever wonder why God doesn't carry on a conversation with us one-on-one? I don't think we can handle it. I mean, I know we wrestle with God in thoughts and prayers. So we have a conversation. But if I walk out of here today and I say, and I hear Matt Wiseman, this is God, I won't be just like Moses. Here I am. You know, he knows I'm here. He hasn't left. I leave. I check out. In the New Testament, God speaks through his Son. First couple books of Hebrew, first couple verses in the book of Hebrews puts it like this. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, and I didn't even give Julie these passages. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. Guys, that guy that died on the cross, God appointed in charge of everything. You don't think he can handle what I got going? Now, I got to ask this. Do you believe that God speaks through his Son to us? I think most of us do, right? Through different situations, through different sightings. I have a couple other questions for you. Let me bring it in and ask this in a more personal way. Is God speaking to you today? If not, when was the last time he did, and how confident were you that it was him? You know, when does God speak to us? When a situation arises. When we have a situation in our life, I guarantee God is speaking to us through that situation. When we have a decision to make, does God speak to us? Yep. Do we listen? It's a whole other ballgame. When a choice must be made, or when wisdom is needed. Guys, the first person we go to when we need wisdom should be who? Men, be careful. Okay, Chris is usually the second person I go to. We should go to God. When we need wisdom, we don't need to ask today's society what we should do. We should go to prayer. We should go to talking about God. In Exodus 3, 1 through 6, we've already read it. But that was a pretty good conversation between Moses and God. That's pretty cool. There's two guys that wrote a book, and it's called Experiencing God. And I've never read the book. I've read, I think, books similar to it. But I tell you, some of the stuff that I found, I'm probably going to go find this book because it sounds pretty cool. But here's four distinguishing marks of God speaking. When God spoke, it was usually unique to the individual. Okay? We know that God spoke to Abraham, Elijah, and Samuel. We know he spoke to David. Each time it was different. He didn't take the same sort of conversation and apply it to every guy. Moses was unique to the burning bush, right? That's where God said, Moses, it is me. It is me, the I am. Number two, when God spoke, the person was sure that it was God speaking. He introduced himself to Moses, and Moses hid. And then said, here I am. Okay, Moses knew who he was speaking to. When God spoke, the person knew what God said. There was never a question when these guys had a conversation with God what needed to happen. They fully understood what God was asking them to do. Now, they doubted whether they were the right person for the job, as Moses did. Because Moses come up with 1,000 excuses why he didn't think he could do it. You know, Lord, you know I stutter? You know I don't speak well? You know I'm scared? What if the people say, we don't believe you? And God answered each one of those questions when he had that conversation with Moses. That's pretty cool. When God spoke, number four, when God spoke, this was the encounter with God. There was no looking somewhere else to have a conversation with God. When God spoke, that was Moses' encounter with the one, the I am. And Moses knew it. You know, he didn't go looking behind door number two or door number three to see if that was really God. What's it say? When God told Moses, take off your sandals, you're on holy ground, what did he do? Immediately did that and fell to the ground. Okay? And some of us are going to say Moses was different. And that was specific to people in the Bible. He doesn't speak like that to me, and he doesn't speak like that to people I know living here and now. I wish he would. But I don't know what we would do. You know how cool that'd be to have God come down and sit right there and say, "Hey, Matt, no. I want you to bring this out today." That'd be pretty cool. And guys, I got 8 pages of notes, but God's working on me while I'm up here. Okay, we probably won't get to 8 pages of notes. Because I think God's speaking today. If God were to come here and sit here today, that would be both awesome and terrifying at the same time. But how cool would that experience be if we could see God sitting here in church? But here's what I'm going to tell you. You can be sure that God is speaking to you today. You can be certain of what he's saying. We all know what he's telling us to do. And you can have an encounter or experience with the living God today. John 10:27. I have to bring sheep into it. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Guys, if you don't know that God's speaking right there, that voice is telling you. He's speaking. He spoke to every one of us throughout our lives. And some of us have made that decision to follow him. Some of us are still out in the pasture gnawing on that last little bit of grass. Guys, there's no time like today to listen to God's voice and come to the Master. The I Am is still speaking. How can we be certain? Well, let's go on. That God generally, let's go from how God generally speaks to everyone and compare it with how he specifically speaks to those who follow him. Okay, so God is out there and he's speaking to everybody. Now that message and that conversation for the people that follow him is different than for the people that don't follow him. Does anybody here think God doesn't talk to non-Christians? No. That proves that right there. He died there for me. Before I was a Christian. While I was a sinner, while I am a sinner, he still died there for me. There's a couple points here I want to talk about. Here, God speaks to us through his creation. Sometimes people say, "I sure wish God would write it in the sky that he exists." And take a look around. If you think that, take a look around at what we have. The fact that we have skies, the fact that we have mountains, the fact that we have trees, the fact that we have the sun, proves he's there. He's there through his creation. Psalms 19:1-2. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge." Day to day, God talks to you. Night to night, he'll reveal his knowledge to you. That's pretty cool. Have you ever stood at a mountain range or at the beach and just looked out there and thought, "Man, how amazing is this?" Have you ever just stood on the beach? "Man, it is getting late. I'm not going to make it. This may have to be a 10-week message." But if you ever just stood on the beach and looked at the ocean, all you see is water. That's impressive. Your God did that. Your God did that. All of us have a conscience. Point number two. God speaks to us through our conscience. Conscience. Sometimes we don't like to hear that. Man, that proves we did something wrong sometimes, right? Yep. Three, God speaks to us through our circumstances. And the circumstances of others around us. Guys, I guarantee you, God has put you into every situation you've been into in your life because God is speaking to you through that situation. Man, the Buckeyes lost yesterday, right? God spoke to me pretty hard through that situation. I went to the barn, cleaned the barn after that game, and I've never cleaned the barn so fast because I was pretty aggravated. I was wanting to fire Ryan Day, fire Kerry Combs, bring in the young kid that's a quarterback. Listen, our quarterback threw for 470 yards, and people are blaming him for the loss. Seriously. Seriously. But those are our circumstances. God puts us in each circumstance for a reason. And mine was to go get the barn cleaned out because I had harped on getting it done and I just put it off. Because now I'm officially sheep barn. No rabbits in my barn. We're officially sheep barn. And people laugh and think, oh, Matt, you're dumb. But I'm telling you, when I go out and just listen to those sheep just lay there and chew their cud or murmur to each other, I learn a lot. Those sheep are not really, and Chris thinks I'm crazy, but those sheep, I learn more from those sheep than I can do for those sheep. Because they tell me, hey, slow down, moron. Take it easy, man. Look at me just laying here in my pen. Now give me my 4 pounds of feed, please. We have one sheep in particular, and Shelby and I both think she talks to us every time we go to the barn. She's an old ewe that we bought, and we're basically given her, but we were given her because the people that owned her before, it was the Johnson girls' first ewe that Grandma and Grandpa ever gave them. And this ewe won ribbons and did whatever and produced sheep, but it's time for this ewe to go on the truck. And they couldn't put her on the truck. So they sold us this ewe, like, for pennies. And every time I go to the barn, I swear I hear, we call her name's Carmel, because that's what her name was when we got her. She has one tooth because she got busted, the other one's on the sheep stand. It's a struggle for her to eat out of the manger, but she does it. But every time we go to the barn, Shelby and I say, oh, man, I hear Carmel saying, Matt, I'm over here, come feed me. Guys, that's the way we need to be with our God. Call out to Him. Let Him know every single day that you're here ready to do His will. Another reason is the counsel of the Holy Spirit. God speaks to us by the Holy Spirit. And this is important. What He is speaking by His Holy Spirit will never contradict His Word. So if you ever sense God prompting you towards an action, don't doubt that action. Do it. Moses did it. The beauty of Moses is he tried to use excuses to get out of it. He tried to say, I'm not good enough. But you know what? God used him anyway. So if you feel the Holy Spirit moving you towards an action, do it. If the Holy Spirit's in it, you can't be wrong. The final way God is still speaking to us today is through His church. certainly this means to the teaching and preaching of God's words, which is what we're doing right now. God has established preaching and teaching as a means of how he communicates his truth today. Guys, it's not because Matt, Wes, Doug, whoever preaches is smarter than anybody else. Trust me. Trust me. I'm not. But I truly think God has delivered each message to every guy that's ever been up here because he knew it needed to be heard that day. I'm not smart enough to come up with this stuff on my own, I guarantee you. And so, with the wisdom of God, it is a church that proclaims the Word of God, and the proclamation of His Word, we can declare that He is speaking today. The church also means gathered saints. Okay, this is why church is important. And I'm going to wrap up, I promise. I'll have you out of here by noon. Today? Maybe. Barb, listen, it's important. I know you are. But God put church here so that we all have a brotherhood of other saintly people trying to please God. If we were out there pleasing God, trying to please God just by ourselves, it'd be real difficult. We have a body of believers focused on the same thing. And here's how I'll correlate that, and I'll tie it up. I'll tie it up in a nice little bow. Those of you that don't know, Shelley Planey passed away 10 days ago or so. They had her funeral Wednesday of this week. And she was an active member of the Athletic Boosters, did a ton of stuff for the school, was on Mount Gilead Chamber of Commerce, Morrow County Chamber of Commerce Board, just active, right? Lost the fight to cancer, going too quickly. But there was some students at Northmore that wanted to be part of her funeral procession, but knew they weren't going to be at school. So they brought it to guidance counselors, and they did as the procession was going by Northmore High School, headed to Johnsville to the cemetery from Galleon. They had the high school, I believe it was junior high and high school students, out along State Route 19. And pretty powerful. But that's the Holy Spirit speaking to one or two of those students and say, you know what, I want to be there. And that's pretty cool. But that's the brotherhood that we have here. That's the brotherhood that we have in this community. And that's how we're going to get God's word out there. It's not what I do alone. It's what this brotherhood, this fraternity, this group of saintly believers can get done together. Okay? Because me by myself, not going to happen very well. Us together, as Christians, together, we can get the word out. We have to get the word out. And we're going to finish with this. We know what happened after Moses led the Israelites out. They got out and started living their own life, and they ended up wandering around for 40 years. Right? Guys, we've been wandering around here on earth. God's promised us the promised land. We're going there someday. Right now we have to be about his business. Right now we have to listen for what his leading is. We have to listen. And I pray this is not just as us as a small church, but as a nation, as a world, as a group of Christian believers, we have got to listen when God speaks. And we have gotten so far away from it. We've got to get back to listening to when God speaks, because He does speak. I'll leave you with this. If God's speaking to you today, let somebody know that. Because again, God's speaking to you. You need to be in deep, deep thought, deep, deep prayer about it. And it's better if we have people praying for us and with us. Okay? If God is speaking to you today, don't ignore the calling. If God is speaking to you today to start your relationship, come forward today. Let's get it done. If He's speaking to you today and you need prayer, come forward. Let's get it done. You have a brotherhood of Christian believers here in this church that love you, that want to pray for you, that want to help you through whatever situation you're in. And through that, we will see God speak. Let's close up. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You that we can see You speak and we can see You and hear You. Lord, let us not get too wrapped up in our individual daily lives that we ignore Your speaking, Lord. While sometimes we wish it was face-to-face, You come down and meet me in the aisle of the grocery store and say, "Matt, I want to talk to you." And sometimes I don't give You the time. Lord, just let us hear when You speak. Let us follow what You say. Lord, our response should be, "Here I am, Lord, use me." Lord, we just love You and we thank You and we pray for this nation and we pray for all people in it, that we get back to listening for Your voice, Lord, and following what You preach. In Your name I pray. Amen. So the praise band will be here and the elders will be here. Again, if you have anything, I think this church has proven time and time again the power of prayer. We'd love to pray for you.